We're children of God. We are in Christ. And the Bible says, if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. And so when he's talking about us being blessed with faithful Abraham, he's talking about Genesis chapter 12. And let me just take you there real quick and read the first three verses. It says this, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So I'm glad that I'm related to Abraham, aren't you? I'm glad that he's my forefather, praise God, that I am a child of Abraham, because it brought me in, see, it brought every one of us into the blessing of Abraham. We can walk in these blessings. And he says, whoever you bless is going to be blessed, and whoever you curse is going to be cursed. And so when we start looking at all this, we have to see Abraham here being blessed of God in chapter 12. Now, I want to take you over to Genesis chapter 14, and I want to show you something that Abraham does. Genesis chapter 14, and let's look at verse 14. Okay? Genesis 14, 14. Now, what's happened here is that there have been four kings rise up, and they're battling with the king of Sodom and four other kings there. So there's five kings against four kings. But when it comes right down to it, the four kings are stronger than the five kings, and they get into a battle. They get into a place where the Bible says it's slime pits, and that really the reference to that is tar pits. And they get into this place to where they're just get in trouble. And the king of Sodom gets defeated. And then, as you know, Lot went to Sodom after he departed from Abraham. And so Lot gets captured and all that he has. And they get carried off. And so I want to pick up here then in verse 14. It says this, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he's talking about Lot here, he armed his train, which understand it was his nephew, but it calls him his brother there, was taken captive. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after he returned from the slaughter of, you can, Chedorlaomer or something. I can't pronounce it. You can try it if you want to. Chedorlaomer. Chedorlaomer. I like it better when it's not divided in my Bible. They just try to divide it up to make it a little easier. It makes it harder on me. But anyway, he's that king, okay? And the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheveh, which is in the king's dale, And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, you just keep that in your mind, okay? And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, or Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now, if you want to understand what's happening here, the king of Salem comes out, Melchizedek, and he blesses Abraham with bread and wine. And Abraham turns around and gives the tithe of everything that he's recovered and captured then to the king of Salem, to Melchizedek. He gives him tithes of all, 10% of all. Okay, the tithe means tenth, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But notice this, that he gave him tithes of all. Okay, now, Let me move on. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men, which I think it says, which were with me. Let me get it turned. which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mary, let them take their portion. This was some of Abram's friends that went to help. Now, what I want to show you here is Abram tells the king of Sodom, I won't take anything from you because I won't let you be able to say that you made me rich. See, Abraham knew and realized that his success was because of the Lord's blessing upon him. Okay? Now, I want to take you over to Leviticus chapter 27, if you'll turn there with me. Because I want to establish something here with you, to show you, because in the times we're living in, and for most of the church, they just move right along and just kind of do what they want to do. But I want to stay biblical, don't you? Come on now, I want to be blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay, so I want to look and see what happened to Abraham. What did he do? What's going on? Well, first thing we find out about Abraham, just shortly after God sends him out, he ends up giving a tithe to the king of Salem. And we'll talk about him some more just in a minute, okay? But I want you to look here in Leviticus chapter 27. Look at verse 30. Now, God is telling this. He's laying this down in the law. Abraham gave that tithe. And now here in the law, God begins to lay it down. He says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Now, God here is adding now the tithe into the law. He's setting up a system for his people so that they can all be blessed equally. You see, when it comes to the tithe here, it didn't matter how rich you was, how much you had, or how little you had, you gave the same part. Amen. See, it did. There wasn't any favors done for somebody rich or somebody poor, whatever. Everybody gave the tenth. It belonged to the Lord, okay? Now, he did this in the law, and then I want you to jump on over to Exodus chapter 13, because I want to show that to you. Exodus chapter 13, because I want you to see this. God is establishing something here. He's talking to his people, and he's telling them, listen, I brought you out of Egypt with a high hand. And I'm taking you into a place that flows with milk and honey. And so I'm going to establish some ordinances here for you so that you don't forget what I've done for you. So let's pick up Exodus chapter 13. Look at verse 10. He says, thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, every firstling that cometh of beast, and that which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Notice that. He says, you know, if you're bringing something, and to redeem it meant you paid the price for it instead of it. Okay? And notice that he said, if you want to redeem it, then you'll pay a fifth part. What's that mean? Well, that's, you're going to give 20% more. Right? Because it was dedicated to the Lord from the beginning. If you hold it back, he says, you know, and you want to redeem it, that's fine. But he says, if you don't redeem it, guess what? You don't get to keep it anyway. It's mine. Break its neck. You know, what I'm trying to show you is how important God's tithe is to him. What it means to him. Let's go on just a little bit more and read on down just a little bit further. So he says, you know, if you're not going to keep it, then it's God's. You've got to redeem it. And if you won't redeem it, break its neck. Verse 14. And it shall be when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say to him, by the strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the maker, being males, but all the born of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength the hand of the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines throughout, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, they return to Egypt. That God led the people about. I wanted you to see the fact that God instituted all this. I wanted you to see that God says, this is what I'm going to do. He says, the first belongs to me. It's mine. It's holy unto the Lord. And it was a sign that God had brought them out with a high hand. Okay? Now I want to take you to another place. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3, God is rebuking the children of Israel because they've not kept his ordinances. Okay? Let's just pick it up and read it. I want to actually read it from verse 6. He says, for I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Notice it. You've gone away from mine ordinances. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? In other words, they acted like, what have we done? Right? How did we get away from you, God? How are we supposed to return? We ain't left you. Look what he says. He goes on and says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now listen to this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the fields, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen, what a blessing God tithes to his tithe. He says, this is what I do for you when you return to me and give my tithe to me. Now, look what he goes on and says. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and then him that serveth them not. You know, God hears everything that we say. He knows the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows where we're at. See, a lot of folks that say when it comes concerning the tithe, well, I just can't afford to. Okay. We understand this. Once again, the tithe is not yours. It belongs to God. Amen. You know, a lot of folks will say, well, I just, can you afford Netflix? Come on now. See what I'm saying, don't you? We say a lot of times we can't afford things, especially when it comes to the things of God. But we have to then look at ourselves, you know. I mean, what is it that we've got that's wasteful spending? What are the things that we could clean up in our house that would make us more faithful to God to do give him his part and make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to? Now, we're just talking about the tithe here. We're not even talking about offerings here. Okay, the offering is above the tithe. And the truth is, I've said it before and I'll say it again, we haven't given God a dime until after we've given him his tithe. because the tithe wasn't ours. Come on now. See, I just want to teach this principle because it doesn't get taught, because pastors are afraid it'll make people mad, and besides that, most pastors don't tithe either. Come on. You've got a pastor that tithes. As a matter of fact, you know, and it's because of the glory of God. We make sure that it's way above that, you know, because there's offerings going right on past that. But this church itself tithes. 10% of tithes and offerings that come into this church go back out. We send it, we sow it into ministries or whatever. Part of it, of course, goes to IMO. I mean, I can't think of better ground to put it in. International Missions Outreach, or, you know. And so we always tithe it back out. So I wanted to show you here that God says, He calls it robbery when we take what's His. Well, that's what it is, isn't it? It's stealing. Okay. Now, I know that there's folks that'll say, well, now, you know, that's all in the Old Testament, Pastor. You know, that's the old law, because that's what people like to say that don't want to give. That's what people like to say that don't want to tithe. That's the first thing they'll say. Well, now, you know, that's Old Testament. That's under the law. And I've read it all from the Old Testament. But is it a New Testament principle or not? Well, let's kind of look, okay? Because when we look at Luke 11:42, here's what Jesus says. He says, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, but look, and not leave the other undone." Now he's kind of rebuking them. He's saying, you know, you're making sure that you tithe stuff, but you're missing out on some things. And the things you're missing out, you need to do those, but don't leave your tithe undone. Let me give it to you again in Matthew 23:23. He says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not leave the other undone." So here we have Jesus reiterating in the New Testament to these Pharisees not to leave their tithe undone. Now, there's also those again that are looking for a way out, looking for excuses. What will be said there is this: well, yeah, you know, but Jesus hadn't died yet, therefore he was an Old Testament prophet still operating under the Old Testament. Okay, they'll say that. And you know that, I mean, they've got an argument there. If they want, you know, what I would say to somebody that does that, just say, you just do what you want to do, and I'll do what I believe the Word of God's telling me to do. You know. But let's just go on just a little bit. See, so when you talk about that, you know, they're still talking about, you know, that's Old Testament, that's the law. Well, now let me ask you something. We've read about it right off the beginning on purpose. What about Abraham? Abraham gave a tithe before the law. Before God made it law, Abraham gave the tithe. Who did Abraham give the tithe to? I told you to remember. Melchizedek, king of Salem. Well, who was this dude? Okay? I mean, you don't get much information over there. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. And let's read about Melchizedek in the New Testament. Okay. The writer of Hebrews says this, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Well, let's just stop right there for a minute. Who is the king of righteousness? Who is the king of peace? It's Jesus. Right? Isn't that titles for him? Well, let's read on just a little bit. Okay, let me show you something. "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." That seals it for me. I don't know if it seals it for you, but it does for me. Christ appearing to Abraham as the king of Salem, Abraham tithes to him before the law. Now let's read on just a little bit. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Notice that. Do you understand what he just said? He said, you know, the priests that were fleshly there, they were part of the lineage of Abraham. They took tithes of the people. But Abraham didn't pay to the priest that were of the lineage of him. He paid to that person who had no descent. In other words, he paid to somebody that was not earthly. Okay, let's read on just a little bit more. Okay, in matter of fact, he said he blessed him that had the promises. Remember the promises in Genesis chapter 12. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And hear men that receive tithes. Now, here's, you've got to get a hold of this one. And hear men that receive tithes, that die receive tithes. But there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. Now, I did research on this, and all I can find out on this, as deep as I can find it, researching it, and all the translation, it basically says here that you're going to give your tithe on this earth, but it's going to be received in heaven by Jesus. You bring your tithe into men that die. You bring your tithe into this church. It's the Lord's tithe. I'm saying your tithe. It's not yours anyway. It's His. But you bring the tithe and you give it. And it's received to do God's work here on this earth. But there He receives them. He sees what you do. He sees the tithe. He receives it there. In other words, God says, I see your faithfulness to give to me. Because anytime you give, you're not given to a church, you're not given to a person, you're not given to an organization. You ought to be given to God. Amen. Because He's the one going to bless you. Let's read on just a little bit more. And it says, as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Do you see what I'm saying? Here's what he's saying. If that Levitical priesthood was good enough, why in the world would there have to be another priest that was not after the order of Aaron or not natural? Why would another one have to be brought forth? That's what he's asking. He said, for the priesthood being changed, there is made necessity of a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man give attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And in so much as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then the people's, for this he did once when he suffered or when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. I wanted to read all that so that you can see and understand that God took the law and changed it to Jesus. Okay? What he did was he changed things. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So Jesus came and fulfilled that law, taking away the Levitical priesthood, and he became our high priest. So now, when we give our tithe, we're not giving it according to the law. We're giving it according to New Testament Scripture. We're giving it to our high priest. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, yeah, I want to just show this to you. Jesus, of course, it says that our high priest, but Hebrews 4:14 tells you again. I'm going to read it to you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You can't get any more New Testament than that. You can argue all you want to, but you can't get any more New Testament than that. Now, you know, again, the tithe is given on earth, but it's received in heaven. It's His tithe. It belongs to Him. So what you and I have to do is decide, am I going to give what to Him what belongs to Him, or am I going to keep His? Well, we've seen in the Old Testament that He said, if you're going to keep mine, just break its neck, because it's not going to be any good to you. I would rather, so much rather, and it's proved out for me and Pastorette for many, 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 many years, once we finally learned, it's proved out to us that God can take the 90% that I have after I give Him His 10% and multiply that to the point that I'm never in lack. And matter of fact, I don't even miss what's His because it was never mine in the first place. Amen. Amen. Think about that for just a minute. You see? And God trusts us to bring it. Isn't that something? Your government taxes you and they don't trust you to bring it. Right? They automatically take it out of your check. Yeah. Come on. God trusts us. He says, when you bring me my tithe, then I'm going to open you in the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing you won't be room enough to receive. But then I love, you know, we quote Luke all the time, that the Bible also says to give. And it'll be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. See, that's an offering. The tithe belongs to the Lord. But what you give is an offering. God says, I'm going to bless that too. And see, I've heard, you know, another thing I've heard a lot from people is, well, now I give my tithe to my kids to help them out. Well, number one, it's not your tithe. Number two, if you gave it to your kids, what you're doing is cursing your kids. Where you think you're blessing your kids because you just gave them what belongs to the Lord. It's not going to bless them. You want your kids blessed. You give God what belongs to Him, His tithe, and then ask God to bless your kids. And He will. Amen. See, we have to get our perspectives right. We have to get our priorities in order. God's first in everything. In your marriage, God's first. Right? God's first, then your spouse, then your children, right on down. Right? You see, we got to put God first in everything. Okay? God first in our giving. And when we do that, God blesses that. See, a lot of times folks they're wondering, well, I just don't understand why all this is happening to me. Well, the first thing you better check is your giving. See, I know this is not a popular subject, but we don't want to admit it, but we want to rob God, and then we want to turn around and can't figure out why we're not getting blessed. Why this is going wrong? How's the devil getting in on me? Well, what was part of the blessing of the tithe? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. If the tithe's not there, the rebuker is not there. Now, God loves us so much, He'll bless us as far as He can. But He can't go outside of His Word. Because, see, he would be a respecter of persons. If He blessed you the way He blesses me, I'm a tither, and you're not. If He blessed you the same way, He would be a respecter of persons. Come on. I just want to show this to you. I know it's not a popular thing and people don't want to hear it. And anytime we talk about money, people get, but you ought to get happy when we talk about finances and talk about ways to get blessed. Because we started this thing out with, we're blessed with faithful Abraham. How are we blessed? We are blessed when we do what the Word says. We have the promises of God. Remember, Melchizedek blessed him that had the promises. We have the promises. And the people we bless are going to be blessed. Right? Come on. See, so I want us to get this and understand that we want to make sure we've got things in order, because I'm telling you, this is the time for the church. It's time for the believers. I'm telling you, the world has had their run at it. They brought everything satanic and immoral that's possible to bring in that they can. But it's time now for the Christians to rise up and say, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to make sure that as God moves, I'm ready. When He pours out blessing, I won't be ready to receive that. I don't want to have anything hindering me from getting what God wants me to have. Amen. And so it was just in my spirit to share this again, and I wish we had more people here to hear it so that sometimes we got to get back to basics and we just need to be reminded so that we can do a self check. Now I'm not saying anything. I hope you're not thinking, well, he's just reaching condemnation. No, I'm not. I'm giving you information for you to decide what you want to do. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what the Word of God says. I've been doing it for a long time, and I have seen God, man, I've seen Him bring, just last year, okay, we had no idea, but it ended up that Pastorette had an inheritance from somewhere. Now, it wasn't a lot of money, like $8,000, but that's for us, that's a lot of money. Had no idea it was out there, and we get a phone call. We need you to come and sign some papers. You've got an inheritance that you need to get. Now, you can say what you want to. I call that God. Amen. Had no idea. Didn't have a clue about it, you know. And we've been thanking God. Guess what we did on the... We tithed on that. Okay, God got His part first. Always do. See, anytime anybody gives us money, or we receive money anywhere, you know, you guys bless us. During pastor's appreciation, we tithe on that because we know that we're going to put God first. God gets His part out of that. Amen. Everything that comes in, I mean, you know, and I've had people just come up to me and say, here, I want to bless you. Give me a $100 bill. You know what's the first thing we do? $10 goes to God. That's right. You know, and so the reason I'm telling you these things is not to brag. No. I'm just showing you. I'm not telling you to do something I don't believe in and don't do myself. Amen. It's the Word of God, and I've learned how to be blessed by it, and I want us all to be blessed by it. And so let's stay with the Word, let's stay in the Word, and let's let the blessings of God flow to the place that when people call us the rich church, they'll have good reason to. All of you going to be rich, because the blessing of the Lord, what? It maketh rich. And He adds no sorrow to it. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for laying it out in Your Word, what You would have us to do so that You can get every blessing to us, Father. Showing us, Father, that when we give, it's given to us, Father. Showing us, Lord, that when we bring Your tithe into the storehouse, You open the windows and pour out blessings that there's not room enough to receive. Father, it means that You want us so blessed that we're blessing those that come up behind us, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Father, thank You for that. We know that it's Your will for Your people, Your children, to be blessed. And Lord, we know that if we'll do what Your Word says, those blessings will come upon us according to Your Word and overtake us. So now, Father, I ask You, Lord, that You just help instill it to every one of our hearts, that we never forget that You come first in everything. And we give You praise for that, Father. I pray if there's any